We're so happy to have all of our guests here. After our next speaker, we'll take a break, and then we come back. I'll give you a little bit update on the schedule and everything that's happening. But we are happy to have all of our guests here today. It's good to have our newly elected board chair, Urshan Board Chair, Brother Michael Enzi. Glad he's here with us at our pulpit conference. Glad you're here. Amen. If you know anything about missions, the last name Shalm is just synonymous with missions. The entire family seems to be involved in some way. Brother Alan Shalm, we're so happy that he is here today. He's, of course, they travel all over, but they have pointed, I guess, in Pakistan and Malaysia and that area, but do a lot of traveling. He's now on deputation, so we were able to take advantage of his deputational travel. He was somewhat in the area. I think he was in the Chicago area, flew here. So we are so happy to have Brother Shalm with us. We want him to come minister the word of the Lord to us today. Brother Shalm, come take your liberties. Welcome him as he comes.
Thank you, Brother McClintock. It's a privilege to be here this morning, already feeling the presence of the Lord. It seems in my life I'm in a different place every day. And so there's different cultures, different foods, different temperatures, different people. But one thing that is the same, and that is the presence of the Lord. And that makes me feel at home. Praise God. So we're so thankful to be here. It's a real honor to be a part of this conference, and I give honor to all of those who were involved. I know Dr. Coulthard and Brother Jones, Brother McClintock, others that were involved. We appreciate your efforts, all the students that are here. We're thankful for you. I hear sometimes that from older folks that, you know, what's coming up on this generation. I'm going to tell you what's coming on this generation. God's raising up a generation upon whom the ends of the age have come. He's going to raise up a generation that is powerful, that's going to impact the world. And you're a part of that. And he's going to take you and use you mightily for his kingdom and glory. And so it's a privilege to be able to speak to some of you here this morning. I appreciate the word that was given last night, Dr. Coulthard, Brother Tony, emphasizing the necessity of the word. And in a world that's gone crazy, we need something that's stable, something that is established. And I'm thankful that his word is forever established in heaven. Just to give you a brief note, I was supposed to be talking here about cultural intelligence, preaching with cultural intelligence, and I'm going to do that a little bit, but I got permission for Brother McClintock to move in another direction that I feel in the Holy Ghost. I will be touching upon that, but if you want notes, I can make them available afterwards. I do want to just give a brief introduction. Some of you probably never heard of our name before, and I was born and raised in India. My parents went as missionaries in 1949, and I spent most of my first 18 years there. Came home, attended Bible college in Canada, where I'm from, and then pastored in Toronto area for about 7.5 years. Then the Lord called us to, we thought, India. Couldn't get visas there, so we settled next door in Pakistan, which used to be a part of India. There was already an established, strong work there. The Corcorans, Hanscoms, Tracys had all done a very wonderful job. And for one reason or another, they all had to leave the country the same time, same month, July 1987. And so we were there. And eventually, we became the superintendent. In the 18 years, we did spend 30 years in Pakistan, but the 18 years that I was superintendent, I was going through the records recently. We saw 55,000 people filled with the Holy Ghost. Over 32,000 people baptized in the name of Jesus. We saw an increase of over 800 new established churches, over 2,000 new preaching points, and the constituency grew from 20,000 to 166,000. And I believe that's just the beginning. The Lord is getting ready to do something in the earth. And Pakistan's a nation of 97% Muslim. If God can pour out His Spirit in a nation like that, He can do it anywhere in the world. Praise God. Praise God. And I want to inspire you to get involved in the harvest. Even if you don't go into ministry, you can still be a part of the harvest. Praise God. Praise God. I'll read from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and reading in verse 5 just to launch here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." He said, our gospel came to you not in word only, but also it was demonstrated in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Assurance. And this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to talk a little bit about preaching with cultural intelligence, and the way that you're going to reach people overseas is by preaching the gospel of power. Take it from the Word. Don't just go out there somewhere, but if you take it from the Word, you're going to see people's lives dramatically change. I had the opportunity the last 10 years when we were living in the nation of Malaysia to travel to 33 different countries and minister. And I found wherever you go, if you will preach the power of the Word, you're going to see people respond. People are going to be healed. People are going to be delivered. People are going to receive the Holy Ghost. And so that's an exciting time that we're living in, the time that the prophet Joel prophesied about. But the prophet or the apostle Paul here said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." It did come in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. You may be seated. There are pairs of things that seem to go together. You say salt, you think pepper. If you're from the north, you say eggs, you think bacon. From the south, probably gravy, biscuits. Everybody's got their pairs that they work together. I believe in the time that we are living in, and according to the scripture, that there are two elements that we need to combine together, and that is the Word of God and His Spirit. And when you combine the two, you're going to get a spiritual reaction. If you take hydrogen by itself, it doesn't do anything. If you take oxygen by itself, it doesn't do anything. But when you combine the molecules in the right proportion, you get water. The same thing with chemicals. You put them together in the right proportion, you can get an explosion. By themselves, they don't have any power. And so it's important as believers today that we understand that our gospel did not come in word only, but it also came in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I can assure you that when we went to Pakistan, I'm glad that the Lord didn't say, "Well, I want you to go there and preach the gospel and I hope things work out okay." But He sent us there with power and anointing and authority. There was a missionary lady there that was retiring from another organization. She had spent 40 years in the country. And while she was there, she had tried to reach the people. And it was mentioned at her farewell, and I wasn't there, but I did receive information later, at her farewell that she had been so faithful. She had stayed 40 years in the country and hadn't seen, but even though she hadn't seen somebody come to know the Lord. And I thought, well, what kind of gospel do you have that it would not produce anything in 40 years? The gospel that we have is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. The Spirit of God is powerful. The blood of Jesus is powerful. And so when we preach, we can preach with a confidence that God is going to actually create something as we speak. We're speaking His Word. And when I preach, I do not use a lot of notes. In fact, this morning I have 4 scripture portions, and that is my note. Because when I get into the Word, that's where the anointing comes from. The anointing is in the Word. And as I read that Word, it's like fire coming off of the page. I can sense that the Holy Ghost is saying, this is not just written, dead language, but it's something that's alive. There is power in the Word of God. Praise God. And so that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. He said, when we brought our gospel to you, it didn't just come in word only, but it also combined with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when we came to you, we came with much assurance. The apostle also said, and I would read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, I was very nervous when I came to you. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. I didn't check the dictionary for words before I started speaking to you. But he said it came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. He said, when I came to you with the Word, but the Word was backed up with the Spirit and the power that is in the Spirit. And when you combine those two, you will see a mighty move of God's Spirit. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth. And it tells us in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Evidently, it was the custom in the synagogue in those days that when a rabbi would stand in the service, it meant that he wanted to read from the Scripture. And on this day when Jesus stood, they gave to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened and began to read. Now, this book probably had been read by different rabbis over the years. Isaiah had written these words close to 800 years prior to Jesus reading them. And during those 800 years, they had probably been read many times in synagogues. They had been quoted and referred to. But when Jesus stood up on this particular day, he was not just reading what Isaiah wrote. He was actually declaring that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He said, I am the anointed one. I am the one that is the Christ, the anointed one. And so he said that he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. In those days, the poor were very, very downtrodden. Every invading army that came through enslaved them. Many of them worked in homes where they were treated with great cruelty. They had no hope in this world at all. But Jesus said, I've come to preach hope to you, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. He said, I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted. When I was a little kid, my mom used to read me some nursery rhymes. And one of them was about Humpty Dumpty. And you've probably heard it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But I'm thankful that there's one that can put a broken heart together, and his name is Jesus. And when we preach him, there's going to be a change in people's lives. Praise God. I remember one time when we were pastoring in the Toronto area, there was a young man who had been kicked out by his wife because he was stoned on heroin and had fallen into this habit over and over again, despite the chances she had given him to come back. And he was wandering aimlessly through the streets when he passed our church and heard singing. And so he walked in. He was still very high. But he sat there in the service, and when we gave the altar call, he came to the front. We prayed with him for about 2 hours. That was about 45 years ago. Just recently, my wife was on Facebook, and she mentioned this incident because he had been totally changed. He said, Sister Shum, I'm still serving the Lord 45 years later. There is power in the gospel. The gospel that we have changes men and women's lives. And when we take it, don't be ashamed of it, but have a confidence that when you speak the word of God, something is going to happen. People's lives are going to be changed. Praise God. Praise God. He said, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives, whether they're bound by drugs, alcohol, pornography. It doesn't matter what holds them captive. He said, I have come to bring deliverance. There is power in the gospel. He said, I have come to bring recovering of sight to the blind. And I might add to the deaf and to those with cancer and high blood pressure and heart conditions and whatever other sickness there might be. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the gospel, and we can expect to see results. We would be foolish to preach this gospel and not expect anything to happen. But God wants us to go forth with power, with anointing, and with authority. Hallelujah. He said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruises are where you bleed inside. You're not actually, it's not a sore that's bleeding outwardly, but it's inside. When you talk to a lot of people, you meet them and you ask them, how are you doing today? Well, they smile big and say, doing fine. But if you could see inside, they're bruised. They may have been abused as children. They may have had some other situation in their life. And they're carrying that bruised. And because they're bruised, their whole worldview is different. They're looking at it from the standpoint of someone that's bruised. But oh, Jesus said, I have come to set at liberty them that are bruised. I've come to give you a new worldview. There can be victory for you. You can step out of that that thing that binds you, and you can be free. And then he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, when is that? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You can receive something from the Lord now. You don't have to wait. You don't take a number and stand in line. But if you need something from the Lord, he has power to change you now. You go to the front of the line, and he's going to minister to you in the condition that you're in. Because if you have faith in him and his word, there is power in our gospel to change. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus was getting ready to go back into heaven. He had gathered his disciples together, and he was giving them some last-minute instructions. Now, there are times when we joke around, But if you're going on a long journey and you've got somebody taking care of things for you, you have to take time and be very careful that they understand where the money's coming from if bills appear, how things are going to be taken care of if something happens in your home. And you have to go through the whole list of things. And so Jesus, in essence, was taking his disciples and trying to capture everything that he had been teaching them during the 3.5 years that they had been walking with him. And so he said to them in verse 8 of chapter 1 in Acts, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, when you read this scripture and it talks about being a witness, I have been accosted by people from other denominations that told me that miracles don't happen today, that God doesn't do that. That ceased with the apostles, that kind of thing doesn't happen. Well, they got to me a little bit late because I've seen tens of thousands of miracles. But they say to be a witness means you go and talk to somebody about Jesus. And you quote from the scriptures of the Old Testament or the New Testament. You read to them and quote to them from the Bible. Well, I submit to you that they are not witnesses, they are historians. They're telling what happened 2,000 years ago. But Jesus said, "When you receive power, you will become witnesses unto me." You're going to actually see the miraculous power of God. You're going to see him do things that the others might not see because they don't believe in it. Why would we want to take anything less than what God has for us? Why would we be satisfied to just do the mundane when we can see the supernatural, when we can live like the apostles did? Hallelujah. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, you're going to receive that power. In the same book of Acts, chapter 4, it tells us that after Peter and John had healed the lame man at the gate Beautiful, they had ultimately been taken into custody and then threatened and told not to preach anymore in this name. And so they went back to their own people. And it says in verse 9, they said as they were praying, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." They didn't say, "Give us all safety." They said, "Give us all boldness that we may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." This is what they asked for. Let's see the power of God in action. Let's see God begin to work as we give his word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. So there's the word. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things common. But notice in verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness." There's the word. "With great power, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Praise God. I believe that today the Lord wants to use his church to see the miraculous. The word is filled with it. And when you begin to preach that word with an expectation that something is going to happen, when we go overseas to preach the word of God, we find that inevitably people rush to the front. I can remember we were in China in a certain place on a certain time. And on one meeting, the main seminar that we were holding was in an apartment. People had to start coming 2 hours early in twos and threes so that they would not be obvious that they were coming for a meeting. When they arrived, they would sit there and pray until the meeting started 4 hours later if they were the first ones there. And so this is how people came in, and they were worshiping and praying that way. One of the most powerful meetings that I have ever been in my life. And on the Sunday, they moved to a large hotel outside the city limits. The manager was not a believer, but he was sympathetic. And so he allowed us to use that. And I can remember preaching about the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and that your life can be changed. These people were all professionals. Some of them were very famous in China. They had very, very high reputations. But when I finished preaching, because I don't speak Chinese, I was going to have those who needed the Holy Ghost come to one side, those who needed healing to come to the other side, so I would know who was I was praying for and what I was praying for. And so I just started to say, I was going to give instructions. I just said, in a moment, I'm going to have you come and pray. These people, professionals, got up and started running to the front. Within moments, I was completely surrounded. I had my hand up like this to lay hands on people. And I couldn't put it down for 45 minutes because the crush was so great. Somebody would be prayed for. They would move out and immediately somebody else would come in to be prayed for. And it went on for 45 minutes like that. There was an older gentleman there that came up to the front, and he saw that he couldn't make it in because he was obviously struggling with some kind of a malady. And so Sister Shom went over to pray with him. She just prayed very quietly and asked that the Lord touch him in the name of Jesus. At the end of the service, the prayer service, there was a time of testimony. This man's wife came up to speak on his behalf. And she made the comment, and the lady that was interpreting for us didn't speak much English, so she was just giving us a basic idea. She said he had something like a frozen shoulder, and that was healed. And so we were thankful for that. But 4 months later, I was doing deputation in a city in Canada. And I noticed there were a number of Chinese people in that service. And so I thought, well, I'll just use this illustration to help them associate with what my message is about. And I told the story. After the service, a lady came up to my wife. And she said, Sister Shom, and I did not name the name of the city. I just gave some dates. She said, were you in such and such a city in China? My wife said, yes. We don't tell people that because we don't want anybody to get hurt. She said, well, actually, the man that you prayed for was my father. He was a 3-star general. She said, you prayed for him. It was not a frozen shoulder that he got healed of, but he had rheumatoid arthritis and was almost totally crippled. But she said, God instantly and completely healed him. Hallelujah. Praise God. She said, I'm a doctor myself, but my dad has been changed by that. And she said, he also said, a couple of weeks later, he called her again. She was in Canada. He said to her, I've just got a call from my classmates. Those of us who are still living are going to have a reunion that came out of the military academy. He said, we're going to have a reunion. And he said, I'm glad you waited till now, because if you'd have called me 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have been able to come. But now I'm coming, and I'm going to tell you an amazing story. Men that were at that same level. Praise God. You see, there is power in the gospel. When you preach it, God will change people's lives. Praise God. When there's a hunger, people will rush to receive what God wants for them. We have seen many times in Pakistan, if we have an altar like this, within seconds it will be filled because people want to receive. They understand there is power in the gospel. I remember one time we were having a large meeting in our Bible school ground. And as we were walking in, Sister Shom, a Muslim lady, approached Sister Shom. And she was carrying her child. She said, "He is completely unconscious because of diabetes. And I have brought him here for prayer, but I can't get to the front." And so Sister Shom laid her hand on that little boy right then. He was totally unconscious, and God completely healed him. She came back the next night and said, "His blood is completely normal. There's nothing wrong." Praise God. I believe that there is power in reaching people with the gospel. When we held our first crusade in the city of Rawalpindi, it was in Pakistan. It's a city next to the capital of Islamabad where we lived. And we had spent a lot of time preparing for this. But on the first night, Brother Billy Cole was the evangelist. We had about 10,000 people that were gathered there. Maybe 2,500 were UPC. The rest were from other church groups and then other faiths. And so he preached about healing. That's what we do in the beginning. Our first service in a crusade is always about healing, because when people get healed, they go and tell others. And so that night we had approximately 4,000 people that received healing. And we know that there were a lot, because for the next 6 months, our pastors were receiving an average of 10 to 15 phone calls a day about the miracle that God had done for that individual in that particular crusade. But at the end of the first night service, Brother Cole had prayed, and 4,000 people had stood and said that they had been completely healed. And so he had them check and so on. They said, yes, we've received it. And so then he was going to pray again, and he was giving some instructions, and I heard a commotion coming from the back of the ground. We were in a large open field. He said, we heard this commotion coming, and because there was a lot of tension in the country, I thought that maybe terrorists were there. And so I was very concerned, but then I noticed that people started to stand and to clap. And I thought, well, they're probably not clapping for terrorists. And finally, a man made his way to the front. Again, he was obviously a Muslim by his dress and his speech. And as he came near the front, the people were getting kind of a chaotic mess there. And so Brother Cole was trying to calm everyone down, and he wanted to pray again. And the man started to shout out, "But I've been healed." And so we invited him up on the platform. We actually have video of his testimony. He said, 2 years ago, I had a brain hemorrhage. I guess we would call that a stroke. He said, I was totally paralyzed. My family took me to doctors all over Pakistan, the best doctors they had. He said, I went to all of the Muslim saints. They called them peers, or we would call them maybe something else. But he said, when we went to all of these ones, nothing changed. But we heard about this meeting, that prayer was being made for the sick. And so because of that, he said, my family brought me on a bed. We have portable kind of beds there. They're made of light wood and they're strung. He said, they brought me on a charpai. It means literally 4 feet. And he said, that's where I was 5 minutes ago. But he said, Jesus healed me. And then he started to jump like this. And he can heal you too. I want you to know we can be witnesses of the power of God. There is power in the Word of God. And if we believe it and act upon it, if we'll preach it with faith, we can see the miraculous happen. Hallelujah. 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 As we started to take Brother Cole out, because now the crowd was starting to push in, taking him out for his own safety, there was a Muslim lady who had managed to make it up onto the platform. She was sitting there, and she said as he passed, Brother Cole, you must help me. She had her right hand totally paralyzed. And maybe you've seen the video of this. Brother Jerry Burns put it out. I saw him last night. I don't know if he's here today. But he put this out, and you can see her being prayed for. And as we said, in the name of Jesus, Brother Cole prayed for her in the name of Jesus. Her hand opened and started to open and close, a look of amazement came on her face. She said, I couldn't open it on my own for 28 years. She had lost her family because in the East, the right hand is used for eating. The left hand is used for all things that are not good. And so because of that, her family had actually turned away from her. But now she said, I have been healed. And we said, it's through the power of the name of Jesus. There is power in the gospel of Jesus. Praise God. The next night, we had 25,000 people. In fact, Scotland Yard had some men training the Prime Minister's detail, and they came to see it, and I asked them, do you want to come up on the platform? And he's looking like this. How do you manage a crowd like this? But there was absolute peace in that place because the Holy Ghost was there. God has given us power and authority. Hallelujah. His word is powerful, and when we combine it with the Spirit, we can see the miraculous happen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I could go on telling different testimonies and of miracles that God has done through the years. But I want to say this morning. When you go overseas, if you're preaching to another cultural group, most of the time they're expecting miracles to happen. So when you we're technological here, and we... Well, they are too, to a great extent, but they have a history of being very open to the Spirit. Whether it's the right Spirit or the wrong one, they're very open to it. And so if you will begin to minister with the power and the authority of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you will see miracles happen. Praise God. You say, well, that happens over there. Does it happen here? As the general superintendent in Pakistan, it was my job to facilitate bringing evangelists and teachers over. We would bring evangelists, see a big gathering, then we would bring teachers to help establish them and so on. And so that's the way that we operated. But in my personal ministry, I've actually seen more healings in North America than I have seen overseas. Maybe that's because I'm a foreigner here. I've lived 56 years in Asia, so I've lived a lot of time over there. But I have found that if you preach the Word of God with faith, people will receive it. We were in Springfield, Illinois, a week ago Sunday, and the service was basically over. One of the brothers came up to me, and he said, Brother Shom, I have a situation. There's a disc in my back that's been misplaced. The doctors told me I have to have surgery. Because if I don't, I'm just going to walk like this the rest of my life. And he said, it may actually cause me to be paralyzed. And so he said, would you please pray for me? So I called the pastor over. We laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. And he stood up like this and he said, I was in terrible pain just a few moments ago, but it's completely gone. Hallelujah. I was in Charleston, West Virginia, I think. Several years ago on a deputation, and we preached simple message and asked people to come for prayer. I remember watching, there was an older lady. She appeared to be about 75 years of age to me, but she was kind of a spry person, except for she'd broken her ankle, or torn ligaments, actually, and I had done that when I was 30-some years old, and it took me 3 months of physiotherapy to get it okay. But I watched as she started to dance in the Spirit. The Lord completely healed her. A man came up to me. He said, Brother Shom, because of diabetes, I was completely blind in one of my eyes. But he said, tonight it's opened again. The Lord has allowed me to see. He said, there was another man that came and said, I had hearing aids implanted in my ears because I couldn't hear. And he said, now I have to close my ears when people start to shout because the sound has been magnified. God had completely healed him. I met the pastor at General Conference 4 months later. He said there were 11 notable miracles that happened in that service. God's not a respecter of persons. If people are willing to believe his word, you can see the miraculous happen wherever you are. When you begin to preach his word, he's going to back up the word. He's going to make it to prove that he is God, that his word is forever settled in heaven, and that when we preach it, there is going to be something happen. There is power in the word of God. There's power in his spirit. And I'm thankful this afternoon or this morning that we can come in the name of the Lord, that we can preach his word with confidence and an understanding that he is going to do something about it. I'm going to close with one more scripture we read from Luke chapter 4. But I would like to read again. This is after Jesus had read from the scripture, the prophet Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, as he had been given the book. But it tells us in that same chapter, in verse 29, he had gone to another place and they were going to throw him over the brow of the hill, their city. But it said in verse 30, he passing through the midst of them went his way and came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. They had heard the rabbis preach and exhort and explain, but they were astonished at his doctrine because his word was with power. And then it says in verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And when they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Praise God. I'm going to step on some maybe dangerous ground here. But I have found in traveling a lot of times in North America, people kind of wonder if there are evil spirits anymore. If there aren't, where did they go? They were in the Bible. And a lot of the psychological problems that people have today is the activity of spirits. And I believe that the Lord is going to give us victory over those things. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. We use doctors if we're sick. We use doctors if the Lord hasn't healed us. My dad always said, if you don't get healed, you better go to the doctor. But I believe that the Lord also wants to heal our mind, because he made us body, soul, and mind, as well as giving us his spirit and our spirit. And so if we can pray and believe God, he can bring deliverance. If you're in ministry, the enemy is going to attack you. And there have been times when I have, in Pakistan, when we've had a frontal assault by Satan. And the only way that you can have victory is taking authority over that, and you begin to quote the word of God. That's what Jesus did in the wilderness. When Satan came against him, he started to quote the word. There's again the word. You have to have the word and the spirit. And when you put the two together, the miraculous is going to happen. Praise God. I know it's a little bit quiet here because of the subject, but I want you to understand that God wants you to become a part of a powerful church. He's not coming for a weak church that's barely hanging on by its fingernails. But he's coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. And I believe that he wants to awaken his church in this day and age to arise and to meet the challenge of the hour. With all of this wokeism and cancel culture and the transgender stuff, all of the foolishness that's going on in the world today, we have power and authority over it. Hallelujah.
I believe we can pray against the spirits of that are bringing this filth into our nations. We have the power of the Word of God. We have the power of the Spirit of God. And God wants to cause us to arise in this time. Hallelujah. Take authority over it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have power over the elements. I'm just talking to you what I have experienced personally. I was teaching on spiritual warfare in the nation of Malaysia. You may be seated in Malaysia to the leadership there. And it was a 2.5-day seminar. On the last day, we took a break before the final class. Then we were going to have lunch and dismiss. And the assistant superintendent's wife, Sister Suk, she was married to Brother Clement. Some of you may know him. And she came up to me and she said, "Brother Shaham, we've been talking about the authority and power that God has given to us through His Word and His Spirit." She said, "I have just noticed on my phone that a Category 5 typhoon is supposed to hit East Malaysia, which is where they live. It's an island." And she said, "It's supposed to hit there this afternoon." She said, "Can we pray before we go back into session?" I said, "Certainly." And so we gathered together for about 15 minutes. We prayed with power and authority. There was no asking. There was just taking authority over the situation. And we finished our prayer, the class, the lunch. And the next morning, Sister Shaham was sitting at her desk, and she said, "Alan, did you hear what happened with the typhoon that was supposed to hit?" I said, "No, I hadn't." She said, "I'm going to call Brother Clement." So she called him. He said, "Oh." He said, "No, we didn't have anything here." Half an hour later, Sister Suk, his wife, sent me an email. She said, "To be more accurate, the Malaysian Meteorological Agency issued a bulletin saying that a Category 5 typhoon died over open water." You can call that a coincidence if you want. But I happen to believe the church still has power. If Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and they had to obey, we're His children. We also have power and authority. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I believe that the Lord wants to use each one of us in this generation. Don't be satisfied just to be a normal Christian, but say, "I'm going to change my world. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost do something in my life. Hallelujah. I want Him to work through me. I can reach my world. He will take what I use and multiply it." Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we have a group of young people here that are being trained to go out into the world, whether it's secular, whether it's for ministry. And I'm asking that Your anointing would be upon them in a very powerful and special way, that they would go forth in the power of the name of Jesus, with the power of the gospel that You have given to us. Help them to change the world that they're living in. They will face things my generation never saw. But You have power over all of those things that will come upon the earth. And You said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto Me. Go ye therefore. You have delegated that power to us. Let us go forth now with confidence, Lord, and an expectation that You will work through us. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, brother.